Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for your word, which inspires us, moves us, fills us. Your word, which gives us guidance and direction. Help us to understand them. Help us to adapt them and integrate them. Help us to claim your word for our lives. So may all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This Wednesday, we had a book club in the Friendship Room, and it meets once a month. And this week, we're discussing the book And the Mountains Echoed by Khaled Hosseini. If you haven't heard who that author is, the same author who wrote the book, The Kite Runner. So we were there around 7 o'clock getting ready to have our meeting when there's this couple who are out in the park. And the man came up to me and he said, "Oh, can I have a blanket? And can I have some water?" So I went into my office and I was looking around for a blanket. And normally I have a blanket. I couldn't find one. So someone in the book club went to her car, got a blanket. I went into the kitchen, got some water, gave it to them. So we just kept going with our meeting. And usually we have our potluck. And then we have a conversation. We talk about the culture of the book that we're reading and the people and the places and the meaning of life. So as we're continuing to have our meeting, one of the band members, and you can probably guess who it is, stuck his head in the door that we were meeting. And he said, "It looks like there's this couple that they're lying down on the grass." And he was ready to put them up in a hotel that night because it's cold. Now, if you remember, last week was pretty cold, and it looks like they were going to spend the night in the park. So I said to him, I said, "You know, they only asked for a blanket and for water. And so if they spend the night there, the police are probably going to come and either take them somewhere or encourage them to move on. I thought they would just move on, and I thought they won't be there tomorrow, so kind of let it go." We finished our book club somewhere around 8:30, close to 9. Everybody left, and I went out there, and I looked to see if they were still there. And they were completely covered with their blanket, and they weren't moving, so I figured they were sleeping. So again, I thought in my head, okay, I know the Torrance police make their rounds, and they don't let people sleep in the park, so they're going to be gone. I drove home, though. I was kind of bothered by it because I thought, even in our house with heat, it gets cold, and I can't imagine sleeping in that park the whole night. So I was kind of feeling burdened by it and kind of feeling guilty, and so I prayed and just went home. So the next morning, I got to the church, and they were still there. They were near the bench, if you know where the bench was, and they had their stuff. And so I thought to myself, well, I guess the police must have missed them. So I was prepared to call the police to let them know. Came late afternoon, the lady decided to come and talk to me. And she was explaining to me how they were homeless, how their disability check, they went to pick it up and something happened, they were short of money, and they were spending the night in the park. And I said, "You can't stay in the park because it's cold. And apparently, around 3 o'clock that night, the sprinklers went off. So they were like freezing and soaked. So I said, it's cold, the sprinklers are going to go off again, and the police are going to come and either tell you to go somewhere else or move. So I said, "Well, what's your name?" And she said, "My name is Tawanda." And I said, "Is that your husband?" And she said, "Yeah, that's name is Jeff." And as she was talking to me, she was humble, she was gentle, She was sincere. She was genuine. And so sometimes when I encounter the homeless folks, they're a little more aggressive or demanding or abrasive. And they just got a very rough edge to them. But this lady was, I don't know, maybe she was 50 years old, but she was just very kind-hearted, and I felt like my heart kind of softened when I was talking to her. So I decided to call the band member to see if he was around, if he was still willing to put them up in the hotel, right? And fortunately, or you could say by God's grace, because I think normally he's out in the field somewhere, out in LA somewhere, he was close by having lunch with another church member. So Marlou and I went over, and we met him, and we got his donation so that we could help Jeff and Tawanda. Now, Jeff said, we have stayed at the Cabrillo Motel over there, and I don't know if you know where that is. It's the corner of Carson Street and Cabrillo, and it's that kind of, I don't know, kind of seedy-looking hotel. So he said, you know what, out of respect for you, I don't want to soil your car or make it smelly, so I'll just walk over to Cabrillo Motel, and I'll meet you over there. So I said, no, let me just walk with you. So we're walking across the park and going through that part of Torrance, and they have their blankets, and they have their pillow, and they have their bag of food, and we're walking down Carson Street. And when we get there, the manager denied them a room. Apparently, the manager had some bad experience with them and had his reasons for not accepting them again. So he said, why don't you go across to the other motel? And there's another motel. I don't know if you know where the weird angled white building is over there on Cabrillo. So he said, I want to go there. So we cross the street, and they have their blankets and pillows. And we get there, and someone's coming out of the building, and they say, well, where's the manager? And he said, the manager doesn't live on site, so you have to call this number. So we called the number, no answer. So by this time, it's getting dark, getting kind of cold. And I said, tell you what, well, where's the next nearest place? And it's Sepulveda. I said, well, we're not going to walk to Sepulveda. So I make my way back to the church. I'm walking, and I call the band member because he had given me some money, but he needed to get some more. So I met him and got the money. Got to my car, and I told him to wait over there, and I was going to pick him up. So I picked him up, and they said, there's a cheap place in San Pedro, and it's on Pacific and 9th Street. So we can go there, and I know we'll be accepted there. So on the way over, he's telling me all the stories about their mishaps or misfortunes and bad luck, and he was telling me that he was off alcohol for since the new year, that there was a job in Gardena that you could go and show up for one day and then get paid for that day. So we show up at the motel, and as we show up at the motel, police cars, it's like two of them there, the lights, you know, going. And as we walk up the steps of the motel, the police are handcuffing this other person. And they're walking up down, and, you know, we're walking in the motel. And I said, yeah, let me talk to the manager. You know, our church is going to pay for their stay. And then there's this lady who was sitting on the steps, and she's smoking. And said, oh, you're paying? Can you pay for mine too? So she was kind of saying, oh, I'm only going to pay for this guy, sorry. And she said, what church are you from again? I said, I'm in Torrance. So we got them situated, and luckily for this band member and also another church person who had given me $20, we're able to have them stay there for a week. And then there was a little bit extra money, and they had money for the bus. So I don't know what's going to happen to them. Now, we prayed that he would stay off of alcohol. We prayed that he would take charge of his life and do the job like he said he was going to do, but we don't know. But I left them there, and I was able to leave that night thinking that I was so glad because I knew that they wouldn't be sleeping in the cold. He had told me that the night before they had slept in an alley, and if you know where the Napa Parts store is there on Carson Street, apparently they slept behind there. So it's something that we all can't understand. This past week, I read this article about meaningfulness and happiness. And there was this researcher from Stanford University. Her name is Jennifer Aker. And she said that there's a difference between living a life that's happy, but living a life that is meaningful. And she outlined five differences between being happy versus living a life of being meaningful. She said, number one, the first difference is the difference between getting what you want and what you need. She was saying that when we want something, we go out and get it. When we are yearning or when we have an appetite for something, we go out and get it, and that makes us happy. But frequently, that has nothing to do with meaning. She said that healthy people are happier than sick people, meaning that the sick people, when they're going through their struggle and they're going through their suffering and they're going through their time of weakness and praying to God, it's full of meaning. Whereas she said, for happy, healthy folks, there's less of that. So that's one difference. But she also talked about past, present, and future. So she made the distinction between if you're trying to think of your past and connect it with your future, at times that can be unhappy. Because you're thinking about your past, you're thinking about your regrets or your suffering or your pain or your bad experiences. Then you look to the future, and your future, you're thinking about uncertainty. You're thinking about how scary it is or how unknown. And so when you're thinking about the past and the future, you aren't necessarily happy. But if you're living in the present, you're meeting your desires and wants, and so you're happier. So that's another difference. She also talked about our social life. She said that when we connect to people, we can find happiness and we can find meaning. But when we connect to people who we're related to, like our relatives, we have to go through things like struggling with tough issues and with problems and challenges. And that is full of meaning, she said. But when we're dealing with friends, a lot of times that has nothing to do with responsibility. And so there's more meaning when we are relating to our family because we're so intimately connected. Number four, struggles and stress. She says that people who are living meaningful lives go through negative experiences and events, which result in unhappiness. In their research, they're saying it's a joyful thing to raise children, but it's also very stressful. But it's always full of meaning. Versus if a person has less stress, like if they've retired and don't have the challenge and struggle and pressure of work and are not that involved in the community, then they can be happier, but the meaning has diminished. And then five, that of personal identity and self-identity. Happiness, if happiness has to do with getting what you want all the time, meaning has to do with expressing yourself and finding who you are and defining who you are. So life and meaning is the value of ourself and the value of our purpose in the larger community. Unhappy life may be meaningful, they said, which is full of stress and struggle and challenge. But then there's that idea of contributing something positive to the world and family and community. But if we're purely pursuing happiness, it's seen as shallow and self-serving, meaningless meaningfulness. So in our lectionary reading today, this Sunday is about Jesus' baptism, right? So we ask, why does Jesus have to be baptized? Was he sinful? Did he need to be forgiven? Did he need to be cleansed? Was Jesus trying to pursue happiness? The answer is no. Jesus was baptized so that righteousness would be fulfilled. Jesus would be baptized so that there would be meaningfulness and justice and righteousness. Jesus was baptized so he could receive the Holy Spirit completely. Jesus was baptized so he could please God and give and serve. Baptism is about meaningfulness and righteousness and justice. That event where Jesus is baptized is sort of like God programming him to be a certain way, which is to be full of meaning, being righteous, and in being involved in justice. Now, many of us have phones and computers, and things are going along pretty smooth, and we're happy with our technology until it says, time for new software, time to upgrade. So we have to do it, right? In the same way, we as Christians, periodically, we need to have our hearts and our minds upgraded and adjusted. Now, why do we have to have the upgrades to our phones and computers? To get rid of the bugs, to get rid of the glitches, so it can run smoothly, more efficiently, and meet the higher demands of all the sophisticated stuff around us. In the same way, our hearts and our minds need upgrade because things around us get more complicated, and we need to get the bugs out, and we need to get the glitches out, and we need to be able to adapt and adjust and to respond. The temptation that we face every time in our life is when on TV they say you have to chase happiness. All of life is happiness when all of life is not. The Christian call in life is to be challenged, to change, and to find meaning. A call to righteousness and meaningfulness and justice, to do the right thing and to respond. Even though it means at times we're inconvenienced or we're interrupted or we're pushed out of our comfort zone. You know, that day that couple showed up, Marlu and I had plans. We were going to go shopping and take care of some errands. I had some stuff I was going to do in my office. I had a meeting that night. But when they came, threw everything off. It required me to think and act right away. It was a call to meaningfulness. It was a call to righteousness. In the book that we read at the book club, one of the characters was talking about his life, and he said this. He said, find your purpose in life and live it. But, he said, sometimes it's only after you have lived it that you really recognize what your purpose is in life at that moment. At the time, you didn't know because you were just inconvenienced or stressed or going through the problems or challenges or struggles. And you never had that in mind, that purpose, but you found out later. And so to be called to live a life of meaning and righteousness and justice, even though it may seem upsetting or inconvenient or interrupting. You find out later there's a deeper purpose and meaning to that. Today is our celebration of the Lord's baptism, but we also remember our baptism. When we were baptized, we received God's blessing and we received God's program. But every year, we remember our baptism. It's like we need an upgrade. We need new software. We need an adjustment. So our way of doing that today, by saying, God, I do need an upgrade to my heart and my mind, is I'm going to invite you to take the initiative and come forward. And in these bowls are a shell or a stone. You can touch the water. You can take either a stone or a shell. As a way of saying to God, I need your spirit to reform and reshape me so that I can be more current and be more up to date.